Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I know the timing of this story is very odd, and a lot of people will be confused as to why someone like me would openly admit to doing what I am, and you know what? I don't blame you. I wouldn't dare confess to what I've done, but I feel like it's time for me to explain why I do it. First, I do not condone or support other killers. In fact, two of my victims were murderers of the worst degree. Second, all of those I have killed have committed at least one of three crimes. One is murder, but it has to have been committed by no other reason than pleasure or enjoyment or in cold blood. The other two might cause this to be taken down, but one is forcing minors to do unspeakable things, and the other is forcing themselves onto others. That's all I'll say on that. Because of these crimes, they would have a first-class ticket to hell. That means they were the perfect candidates for what I had to do. I wouldn't blame you for thinking I'm just a sicko making excuses. I would think that too. But my time is limited, so I'll just get to the point and give you the reason I do this. I kill and sacrifice them to stop the world from ending. This all began in a night out with two of my friends, Luke and Juno. We were at a bar and Luke was talking about his terrible teacher when Juno whispered to me, "Hey, Matt, I think you have an admirer." I turned to where Juno was looking and saw a beautiful brunette smiling at me, with teeth as white as pearls. I smiled back at her and raised my glass. The woman returned the gesture with a wicked smirk. For context, I was only out of a long-term relationship with a woman I truly loved. We were happy, till I found her in bed with her best friend. Because of this, I was a bit rusty and reluctant to jump back into a relationship or even a one-night stand. Luke glanced back and saw the woman. "Holy hell, dude," he began. "That's one hot woman," Juno cut across him while giving him a glare that could turn Medusa to stone. After their staring contest, Luke berated me and told me to go and talk to her. After a minute of this and Juno's gentle nudges to do so, I got up and approached the bar. I leaned on top of the counter as I called for the bartender. When he got to me and asked what I wanted, I said, "One Bud Light and whatever the lady here wants." She smiled and said, "That's just a Jack and Coke for me. Thank you." Out of sheer awkwardness, I struck out my hand and said, "My name's Matt. What's yours?" As I felt myself cringe inside, the woman took my hand and shook it. "My name's Chloe. Nice to meet you, Matt." We talked while we waited for the drinks. Chloe was in her final year of archaeology at the nearby college. "You're beautiful for a 22-year-old, I said. She giggled and said, "No, I'm actually 26. I was in a terrible job for a few years before I eventually made it here." "Well, you could have fooled me. You look only 20, I chuckled. We continued, and I told her about myself. I eventually brought her over to introduce her to my friends. They seemed to like her, especially Luke. As we talked, I saw two people enter the bar and look around. One was a tall, bulky man with long black hair and an extended goatee that made me jealous. The other was a short, slender woman with her blood-red hair tied back in a ponytail, and her face was covered in freckles. Chloe saw them and said, while waving to them, "Those are my friends. Do you guys mind if they join us?" Before I could say it, Juno said, "The more, the merrier." And we took two nearby chairs and made room for the two newcomers. When they got to us, Chloe made the introductions. "Guys, these are my friends, Nate and Amanda." We said hello and shook their hands while Chloe continued. "This is Luke, Juno, and Matt." As the night progressed, we all got sufficiently drunk. As I sat there, giggling to a stupid joke Luke made with slight difficulty, Chloe tapped my arm and asked me if I could help her to the bathroom. With a bit of difficulty, I got off my seat and helped Chloe to the bathroom. When Chloe went inside, I felt the need to drain my bladder myself, so I went into the men's room and went into the last stall, but I left the door open. As I finished and zipped myself up, I heard the door open and footsteps approaching. I had just turned around when a sharp, stabbing pain erupted from my neck. I gave a yelp of pain and surprise before falling back and cracking my head on the stall wall. The last thing I saw was Chloe, holding an empty needle and smiling, before everything went dark. I woke up as my head slammed against something metal, and I jolted awake. I looked around to see a darkness around me, but I saw Juno and Luke beside me, hands bound by a lot of duct tape. I moved my hands to get it off of them, but I realized I was in the same predicament as them. I asked them what happened, and they told me that Chloe said I wasn't responding to her, and they found me in the stall. Nate and Amanda then stuck them with needles, and they woke up just before me.
"Where the hell are we?"
Juno asked, worriedly. Before I could answer her, a voice rang out from the darkness. "You're in the back of our truck, and we're nearly at our destination." A shape appeared from the darkness, and Nate stared down at us, with a wicked smile plastered onto his face. Before I could swear up a storm, the vehicle came to a slow halt, and Nate said, "Look, we've arrived." The door swung open, and I could see Amanda's face peer in from outside. "Get them up," she barked at Nate. Nate gave her a mocking bow and said, "Yes, Your Highness," before grabbing Juno and Luke's bonds and dragging them to the door and carried them out, one then the other, like a bride on her wedding night. I was last to be dragged and carried out, but I was carried like a sack of potatoes. Nate threw me to the ground. I could feel the hard impact of the grassy floor on my back, and all the air escaped my lungs. As I struggled to catch it, I looked around and saw that we were in a clearing surrounded by trees and a single dirt road. I also saw my friends having their bonds cut off, and Luke was forced to stand in place, with Amanda grabbing him by the hair. That was when I saw what she had to her throat. It looked like a hand axe, but it was completely black, midnight black. I felt my hands being pulled, and I saw Nate cutting the duct tape off my hands and legs, but leaving me on the floor as he joined Amanda. I saw Nate pick up a scythe that was the same color as Amanda's axe off the ground and held it upright. I saw Chloe approaching the trio from the side of the truck. She saw me and smiled, a smile that made my guts clench with fear. She approached them and pulled out a dagger. She spread her arms out and looked up to the sky.
"Oh, great dawn, the dark one, god of death," she called out. "Please accept this sacrifice in your name, and know that these are the final three souls to release you from your realm, and know that we, as your eternal servants, will serve beside you for all of eternity."
I watched in horror as Amanda slid the axe across Luke's throat. As my friend spat out blood and had a waterfall of it cascading from his throat, Chloe stuck her dagger into his chest, into his heart, and twisted. Luke's eyes were wide as he fell forward and laid still on the grass, blood pooling around him. Juno made it to me with tears in her eyes, and we both began to run. I could hear Chloe say,
"Get them before they escape, Nate."
I heard footsteps coming quickly behind us as Nate came sprinting towards us. Juno picked up a large rock and spun around, avoiding Nate's swing of the scythe, and connected with his skull with a sickening crunch. Nate sprawled out on the floor, and Juno picked up his scythe. She screamed out as she buried the blade into the back of his skull. As she freed it from his skull, I called out to her when I saw Amanda quickly approaching. Juno turned to face her, but Amanda's axe caught her in the stomach, and Juno went down, dragging the axe from Amanda's hand, but threw the scythe towards me. I scrambled to the scythe and picked it up as Amanda freed the axe from Juno's stomach and was about to deliver the killing blow when the scythe caught her under her left breast and threw her back. Amanda dropped the axe and fell backwards, dead before she hit the ground. I knelt down and tried to get her on her feet. As I got Juno to hers, she yelled out my name. I turned and felt a sharp, burning pain emanating from between my lower ribs on my right side. Chloe retracted the blade from my body and went for a second stab to my chest. "No," Juno said as she swung the axe into Chloe's side. Chloe cried and buried the blade into Juno's throat. I made a move and dragged the axe head from Chloe's side across and opened her stomach. Chloe's eyes went wide as she fell to her knees and stared at her insides. She gave a shaky smile and said, "I will live forever by the side of the Almighty Don, as he shapes this world into his own." Before she fell back and stared, without looking, at the stars. I stood there, covered in blood, and in a state of shock. I was just about to puke when I heard someone clapping from behind me. I spun around and stared into the face of a shadow. The featureless being separated from the shadows of the trees and approached me.
"Well done,"
it said. Its voice was as smooth as butter, and I felt a sudden sense of calm.
"You are the last one standing. I am amazed."
I stared in awe as the thing began to take form. Its body took on a large but slender frame, and its face took a human-like shape with a small but sharp nose, a mouth full of sharp white teeth, two blood-red eyes, and black hair that hung down to his ears.
"What the hell are you?"
I asked with a shaky voice. It smiled at me.
"I'm the god of death. Some even refer to me as a lord, but you can call me Don."
I stared at it.
"What are you? Didn't they need one more sacrifice?"
It gave a smirk and replied,
"They gave me enough souls to appear in your world, but I cannot affect it physically."
"Are you waiting for me to die to claim mine?"
I said, as I applied more pressure to my wound.
"If that was why, I'd be willing to wait a while. That girl didn't hit any important organs, so you'll only bleed to death. But that would take some time."
"Then what do you want from me?"
I said, realizing that he had no real reason to be talking to me at this point.
You are smart. I'll give you that. Seeing as I most likely won't receive any souls with my supplies dead, I would like to make a deal with you."
I stared in disbelief. A god wanted to make a deal with me. But why? What do you propose for this deal?
"As you already know, if I enter your realm, I will rule over it, but I will allow my army of undead souls to feast on every living being they can get their hands on. I am a fair deity, though, so I propose to you this. If you can give me what these three failed to do, I will return to my realm and leave this one alone."
"Are you insane? An idiot can see that you want me to repeat the process and let you free,"
I said, shaking my head in frustration.
"Those three killed innocents only. You would be killing those who deserve it. Those who have ruined lives and spit in society's face. If you can sacrifice the originally agreed-upon number of souls within the same time frame, I will never return to this plane again. I swear upon the other deities that I will not return."
I stared at Don. I glanced down at his outstretched hand. what was the original number agreed upon? I asked. Don smiled a toothy grin and said,
100 souls in 10 years.
I gulped. 100 dead in 10 years. That was a tough choice, but I made my decision. You have a deal, I said, taking his hand firmly and shaking it.
Good. Good, Don said. I will provide you with the necessary tools and necessities, and I will guide you to those that are worthy or unworthy enough to be sacrificed.
I heard the sound of hooves approaching, and I turned to see a beautiful white horse galloping towards me.
Isn't she a beauty?
Don said. Yeah, she is, I said, as it stopped just in front of me.
I will contact you soon when everything is in motion,
he said, as he got onto the horse's back.
Oh, before I forget, you agreed upon all the originally stated agreements, correct?
Don said, as he sat high on his horse and stared down at me.
Yes, I did.
Why? I asked him. Don smiled once more, the same way that Chloe smiled before killing Luke.
Because if you fail to get me those souls, your own soul will be forfeited, and that will count as their 100th soul, and I will walk this world with my army,
he said.
Fare thee well, Mr. Porter. I will keep my eye on you. Don't forget it,
he said, before signaling his horse into a gallop and disappeared as the sun rose, leaving me in a field of blood, sorrow, and pain. My first kill was after my friend's funerals. Juno told us about her uncle, about how he abused her as a child, and how she couldn't tell her parents because of the fear he put into her. When I saw him at the funeral, I got angry, but his body glowed red while everyone else stayed the same. Before I could speak, I heard the voice of Dawn whispering,
he will be your first, much like he was to your friend.
I followed him home afterwards, and made it painful for him. After that, I would locate my prey and would find the perfect time to strike. I got better and better as time passed, and I never second-guessed those I killed. I would always get flashes of what they had done, courtesy of Dawn, that cemented their fate. This worked until now. I was watching a man enter his home late at night, and I knew he was going to be my last. It had been nearly 10 years since that night, and I've killed 99 criminals. I decided that this was my moment to strike, so I did. I entered through the back door and crept into his living room. As he sat there, watching the show Dexter, because of course he does, I wrapped the wire around his neck and dragged him out of his seat. As he kicked and screamed, I asked him, is this how it felt, to kill a little girl this way? Through his chokes, he asked, what girl? The one you choked to death with piano wire? The one you sold to her that very day? I said, this sicko ran a music store and sold his victim piano wire for her piano. When it was closed, he went to her house and snuck in to defile her. When she wouldn't be quiet, he choked her with the wire until she stopped moving. He abandoned her and ran like the coward he was. He was going to pay. Before he could choke to death, I pulled out my dagger and slammed it into his chest, right into his heart. He stopped kicking after that. As I got up and breathed in some fresh air, a strange sensation came over me. I could suddenly hear laughing coming from behind me. I turned and saw Dawn strolling into the room, laughing.
Why are you laughing? It's done. This was the 100th soul,
I asked in a bizarre confusion.
You are a fool. Why would I truly help someone lock me away? I helped you kill those other 99 because I wanted their souls regardless, but that person,
he pointed to the corpse on the ground,
that was some innocent music store owner.
My head reeled as I realized what I had done.
You monster,
I screamed at him.
You better find that 100th soul, Matthew. Your time is nearly up,
he said, as he pointed to the clock on the wall. It was nearly sunrise, meaning that the world would end when the sun rose. Dawn vanished into the darkness, cackling madly. I swore up a storm and cursed myself for believing that he actually wanted me to stop him. I tried to think of something to do or say or anything. As I looked at my bloody hands, I realized something. So, here I am, still at the man's house. I accessed his computer and got into some nobody's account on Reddit to tell you all this. I found a way to stop Dawn from entering the realm. In his attempt to stop me from sealing him away, he created his seal. I am now a murderer. I killed an innocent in cold blood. I am now a sacrificial soul. I hope the look on Dawn's face will be priceless. I really do. When I upload this, I will take one final drink of whiskey, and I will do what has to be done. But before I die, I will remember my friends' faces for one last time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.